we appreciate you praying for us and looking forward to what the Lord's going to do in the future with other missions trips. I know there's some that are planning on going to Bolivia. And let me just say this, I think a missions trip will change everyone's life. I believe it with all my heart. Everyone at some point in time, you ought to try to carve out a time, a place, pray about it, of course, find the will of God for your life and where He wants you to go, and then just go, amen? It will open up your eyes to the mission field, a different perspective. It'll give you a new appreciation for our country. When you get critical of this place, when you get back, you realize that we are blessed. We are blessed individuals, and God's been good to us, amen? And so we appreciate the Lord and appreciate the opportunity to be able to serve Him. Romans chapter number 5 tonight, my wife sang about the grace of God. And all of these slides tonight, they represent the grace of God. The good grace of God. And the Apostle Paul here in Romans chapter number 5, he spends three chapters, the first three chapters. If you read Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 2, and Romans chapter number 3, he spends three chapters plunging all of humanity into hell. I mean, he hangs us out over hell, shows us the judgment of God, shows us the severity of God. In chapter number 1, he shows us that the heathen is condemned. They are sinners without hope and without God. When you get to chapter number 2, he shows us that the hypocrites are sinners and that they are in need of the grace of God. Later on in the chapter, he shows us that the Hebrew, just like the heathen, just like the hypocrite, the heathen too, and the Hebrew is in need of a Savior. And then when we get to chapter number 3, he just sums it all up for all humanity. And he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then you get to chapter number 4 of the book of Romans. And we see that Paul does an about face from the condemnation of sin, the judgment of God. And he begins to point all of us to the salvation of the world. And he begins to point those of us, amen, that are condemned, those of us that are plunged into hell, into the imputed righteousness of God, which is by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we get to chapter number 5. In chapter number 5, we see the mention of the word grace. As a matter of fact, 5 different times the word grace shows up in chapter number 5 of the book of Romans. And Paul shows us that we as believers, what we possess in chapter number 5 through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5. Paul said in verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. He shows us 3 things that you and I as believers possess. Number 1, he shows us that we possess a pardon in chapter number 1, or chapter number 5 and verse number 1. He shows us that we did not work for our salvation. We did not have to wander aimlessly to find it. We did not have to wager for the gift of God, which is through Jesus Christ. We did not have to war to attain it. We did not have to worship to get it. We did not have to wash ourselves in our own self-righteousness to possess it. But Paul says, hey, it was freely bestowed on all who believe. I have not, and you tonight, have not been paroled. We have been pardoned. We have been pardoned by the grace of God. They say that when a man or a woman is to be pardoned for past crimes that a state or a country has held against them, that they will bring that man or that woman before the judge. And there is no prosecution there. There's no prosecuting attorney there. Because there needs to be none. He stands there with his lawyer before the judge, and they said that they would take every piece of paper, every bit of evidence that the court has held against them, every legal document, and one by one, by the way, all those documents would say, you are guilty of this crime. You are guilty of this transgression. You are guilty of this offense. They will take all of those documents. They will bring out a shredding machine, and one by one, they will run those documents through that machine into a wastebasket, and they have then been pardoned from their past offenses. It reminds me of the song that we sing when we say the song, "You ask me why I'm happy, and I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are what? They're gone." Amen? They are G-O-N-E, gone. They're not just behind the back of the Savior. They're not just under the blood. They are gone. They're not just as far as the east is from the west. They aren't, amen, just put under something. As John the Baptist would say tonight, as he stood there and he saw the Lamb of God, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," which what? "Which taketh away the sin of the world." You and I tonight, as believers, we possess a pardon by the grace of God. Not only do we possess a pardon, we possess peace. I love when pastor says, "I'm addicted to peace." What a blessing. You and I tonight, we have peace with God in verse number 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have." We're not looking for it. We're not trying to get it. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, man today is looking for peace. He's looking for it in a bottle. He's looking for it in the bedroom. He's looking for it in a bottle of pills. He's looking for it in all the things that this world has to try to give him peace. And he's looking for something to soothe his conscience, something that would help him sleep well at night. But they're looking for peace in all the wrong places. Because the Bible says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." There is no peace. But you and I as believers, we possess peace. You know, tonight, we as a church, if you're a visitor tonight or a guest, we're glad you're here. We want to shake your hand. We want to welcome you. We want to make you feel welcome. We want to make you feel loved. But tonight, if you're here and you're lost without Jesus Christ, it is not our job to make you feel comfortable. You ought to, amen, our job is to make you feel guilty, to make you feel uncomfortable, to make you feel condemned. We don't want you to feel like you've been kissed and your conscience is like a pressure cooker, let off a little steam. That, a lot of people come down to an altar and they don't know God, but they come down here and they let off some pressure, some steam off of their conscience so they can feel better about themselves. And we as preachers of the gospel, our job is to turn the heat up. Our job is to take an old-fashioned message from the Word of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And we still have confidence in the power of the gospel. And we still believe that there's a third person of the Godhead whose name is the Holy Ghost. And He can take the words of this book. He can take a sermon which comes from the Latin word to stab. And He can take the words and stab the heart of the lost. We want to take you and hang you out over hell for a little while. We want to, amen, drape you over the flames. We want you to feel the flames. We want you to smell the smoke. We want you to hear the screams. We want you to see the outer darkness. You know why? Because there is no peace to the wicked. You must understand that there is no peace outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God tonight there's a message that we preach, and there is one in heaven whose name is the Prince of Peace. And when He takes up residence in your heart, amen, and sets upon the throne of your heart, He will bring the peace of God which passeth all understanding to the believer. He gives us a pardon. He gives us peace. But then in the text here, in verse number 2, as believers, we possess tonight a place in this thing called the grace of God. In verse number 2, the Bible says, "By whom we also have," what's the next word? "Access by faith into this" what? "Grace." And then he said this, "Wherein we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." You say the word access, it means, the word access means that we possess the ability, that we possess the right or the permission to enter. It means that we can approach, or that we can speak with. You see, the day that you received Jesus Christ, you accessed a new dimension. You accessed a whole new world. You accessed a whole new family. You got a whole new life because you accessed grace. I don't know tonight if it's even possible to touch the hem of the garment of grace. I try tonight. I'm going to do my best to try to tell you what the Bible says about grace. But there's some things about grace tonight that it's just hard to explain. But we as believers possess a place in this thing of the grace of God. Every day that you and I live in a place of grace, you'll find out. You know what you'll find out? It wasn't just saving grace. It was grace for everyday life. That's why the Bible says that He giveth more grace. And then when you need a little bit more, He giveth more grace. And when you need a little bit more grace, guess what? He don't ever run out of it. He just giveth more grace. So I want to preach tonight on the subject of thank God for grace. Boy, don't get over it tonight. Some of us have got over it. Amen. It's been a long time from the day you got saved to where you're at now, and there's been a whole lot of life in between the day that you got born again and to where you're sitting now in that pew. But can I say tonight, may we have a renewed revival in our hearts. This thing of maybe, as He said there, wherein we stand. We stand in grace. And then He said this, we rejoice in it. Amen. We ought to be happy about it. We're to rejoice in it. Thank God. Number one, here's the message. Number one, thank God for the unforeseen grace. You know, tonight, all of us deserve to be in hell with our back broke. Every single one of us. You say, not me, Brother Brown. Yeah, you. Every one of us tonight. But here we sit tonight, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you know Jesus Christ and He lives in your heart, you got a Bible in your hand, you're sitting in a heated building tonight on a padded pew. You say, why am I here? Because of the grace of God. You read your Bible from Genesis and you start reading through there. It don't take long before you get to chapter number 6 in the Word of God. And God looks down at mankind. He said, I'm going to wipe them all out. You say, why? Because the ever thought of man's heart was only evil continually. But there was a man down there before the worldwide flood. The Bible says his name was Noah, and Noah and his family got on the ark. You say, why did Noah get on the ark? Because the Bible says in the midst of all that wickedness that Noah found grace. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And after the ark was built and all the time there, after the flood, it wasn't long after Noah got off the ark and they begin to multiply on the earth that man's back doing it again. Mankind's depraved again. Mankind's running from the grace of God again. They're down there at Babel building a tower towards heaven. God comes down there again and confounds the languages there and spreads them out all over the earth because man's heart is wicked and it's ungodly. And from that time all the way to the end of the Old Testament in the book of Malachi, man does not get better. Man is getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Man's not getting closer to God. He's wandering far away from God. Man is, amen, running away from the direction of God. Even God's own people, His chosen people, they'll draw nigh to God, then they'll fall back, then they'll draw nigh, then they'll fall back. All the way through the Old Testament, you find that there is mankind. He's ending up in a real bad way. You get to the end of the book of Malachi, and the last word in your Old Testament is the word curse. It ends with a curse. And then there's 400 silent years where God just seems to have given up on mankind. Just seemed like God just said, you know, I'm done with the whole thing. 400 silent years, 400 dark years there under the curse of God. But then along comes the book of Matthew, the new covenant, the New Testament. And out of the wilderness there, there's an old woolly booger Baptist preacher named John the Baptist. He's got a leather girdle on, jar of honey under his arm, locusts hanging out of his mouth. Walks out of the wilderness there in the Old and the New Testament, from the old to the new. And he's preaching, repent or perish, turn or burn. And he said, hey, there's one coming. There's one coming.
He ain't here yet, but he's coming. And that man that's coming, I'm not even worthy to latch his shoes. Amen. I'm not even worthy to get down at his feet. And old John the Baptist is preaching there. And man, he's a baptizing there on the banks of the Jordan River. And boy, here he comes. You say, who is it? They're over there doing business there, having their church service. No, John the Baptist, the old Baptist preacher, amen, that preaching hell hot, heaven sweet, Jesus saves, amen, looks over there and out yonder and he said, there he is, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You say, what is that? That in the midst of a curse, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of when God was silent for 400 years, amen, you say, what happened? Unforeseen grace came walking on the banks of the Jordan River, and it was the precious Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, tonight, I don't know where you were when the Lord found you, but I remember, amen, walking down a dusty road in Oklahoma, amen, when the Lord Jesus Christ walked into Brian Green's heart. I was a Baptist brat sitting on a seventh row back at Bible Baptist Church. I was under the curse of God. I was under the condemnation of sin. I wasn't looking for him, but he was looking for me, amen, and he stepped into my life. You say, what was it? It was unforeseen grace. I wasn't looking for it, but it came. And I don't know about you tonight, where you were when it came to you, but I guarantee you tonight, if you'd be honest, amen, Brother Kyle, you'd be glad you found it. Amen. It was unforeseen. You say, well, I'm a Catholic. Listen, the Catholics can have Mary. Keep her. Amen. I'm not being disrespectful to Mary. The Jehovah Witnesses, they can have the earth, you know, they said the meek shall inherit the earth. Take it. It's going to burn up anyhow. Amen. The Mormons, they can keep Joseph Smith, and the Muslims can keep Muhammad, and the Chinese can keep Confucius, and whatever other religion you got there, amen, you can keep it. You said, what do you want? I tell you what I need tonight, and I tell you what you need tonight, if you be honest. You need grace. You need the grace of God. You say, what is grace? It's the unmerited favor of God. You didn't do anything to get God to even look in your direction. But he took interest in you. It was unforeseen grace. You know, grace is mentioned in your Bible 170 times. 170 times it's mentioned. And you get to the New Testament and you find out that 99 of those times, of those 170 times, are taken up in the 14 books written by the Apostle Paul. Now, I wonder tonight, how come Paul gets all the grace in the Bible? I mean, why is it that he gets the most of it? Because we all need it tonight. And I believe maybe Paul, under divine inspiration of the Holy Ghost, maybe, just maybe, Paul remembers where he was on the road to Damascus when he was killing Christians, when he was imprisoning Christians and slaughtering Christians and breaking up families and persecuting the church. Man, he was in a bad way thinking he was doing God a favor. And then God stepped in unforeseen in his life on the road to Damascus. He did not deserve it. He was not looking for it. But God came unforeseen in his life. And he was a looking for Paul when Paul wasn't looking for God. Amen. You say, what should we do tonight? I believe you ought to just take a time out tonight. Amen. Look inside your heart and say, thank God for the unforeseen grace that came in my life. Amen. He gave us more than we asked for. Can you believe where you're sitting tonight? At the East River Baptist Church. Amen. With one of the best pastors in all the world. With some of the best people in all the world. In the best country in all the world. In the best state in all the world. Somebody say amen. God, you say, how? How? Grace. The grace of God. There ain't nothing like living under the shadow of His grace. Amen. And it'll keep you from feeling like quitting. It'll keep you from throwing in the towel. Grace, it'll heal up the wounds when you're bleeding and you're hurt and you got a broken and wounded spirit. Keep you in church serving God when everyone has forsaken you. Paul, at the end of his life, he said, all men forsook me. Paul said, no man stood with me. He said, only Luke is with me. You say, how was he able to stay that without being bitter? Grace. He got under the wings
the shadow of the Almighty of His grace. You see that breath I just took? I took it by grace. See that step I took? I took it by grace. And everything we do tonight is because of the grace of God. You tonight, amen, if it wasn't for the Lord stepping in your life unforeseen. See that wife sitting right there? That wife right there I got? That's the grace of God. These little girls I got down here, you know what? Why I've got that? That's the grace of God. This pastor I got that let me come here and serve the Lord with him? That's the grace of God. It's not I. Paul said, not I, but Christ. And it was unforeseen. I didn't see it coming. But it stepped into my life. And it was the unforeseen good grace of God. It was the unforeseen grace of God. You ought to thank God for it tonight. Number two, you ought to thank God for the unfathomed grace of God. You see, unfathomed, it means a depth that cannot be searched out. So really tonight, I'm preaching an impossible message. There's no way I can do it justice. You say, why? Because it's unfathomed. We cannot comprehend it. The grace of God is something deeper than you can get a hold of. Tonight it's something too high for you to comprehend. It's something too big for you to be able to grab onto. It's something too costly for you and I to be able to afford. It's something that our vocabulary cannot articulate. I try to grasp for words and try to ask God, Lord, give me some words to write down so I can articulate grace. And it's almost like the Lord says, I ain't got none. Because it's unfathomable. It's the unfathomable grace of God. Something that's so deep you cannot explore to get there. Do you remember back on June the 18th of 2023, there was a submarine called the Titan. And that Titan was operated by the American Tourism, an expeditions company called Ocean Gate. And it went to the depth of 10,000 feet. And you know the rest of the story, if you remember the news, as it went all over the world, that small submarine that had, I think, three or four souls on board, multi-billionaires, got so deep in the ocean that it literally imploded from the inside out. In like less than a millisecond, it ceased to exist there, trying to get to the depths of the Titanic and the Northern Atlantic Ocean, somewhere off the coast of Newfoundland, Canada. You know, that's kind of like the grace of God. I remember the first time, and I know you can't live by experiences. And some people, they jump from one experience to another, and they become, I guess, what you would call camp meeting junkies. They're looking for a high, and that's just not the Christian life. They want to spend all the life on the mountain, and they don't want to really live in the valley. But every now and then, God will take you up to a mountain and show you some things like He did, amen, Peter, James, and John there on the Mount of Transfiguration. But you can't live up there long. And I'll never forget the first time when I was sitting on a pew there at Triple S Christian Ranch in Rosebud, Arkansas. And I remember sitting there and that preacher got up, Brother Sam Davidson got up and he was preaching. I don't remember what he was preaching on, but he got to preaching and the Holy Ghost got on him. And boy, my tears started flowing, and I had already gotten right with God on Monday night of that week. And man, I just got a hunger and thirst for God. I was willing to do whatever it took. I had already made some decisions. I knew when I got home I was going to have to make some decisions. I knew when I got home I was going to have to move from my dad's house to my grandparents' house and plug into my home church where I got saved. And I was going to have to break up with my girlfriend that was at home, and she didn't know yet. And I had my best friend, Heath Holmes, that we worked together at Stone Ridge Horse Ranch there in High School, Oklahoma, training cutting horses. And I mean, I had a great job and had a best friend. I was living with my dad and everything was wonderful. And the Lord said, hey man, if you're going to serve God, Brian Green, you're going to have to make some decisions and leave all that behind. So I'd already made the decisions in my heart. And man, that preacher got to preaching. The Holy Ghost got on him, then the Holy Ghost got on me. And it was like, I was like the Titan going down to the depths of the Atlantic Ocean. It was like on the inside, I felt like I was going to implode. And I'll never forget, man, I mean, tears was coming down my eyes, and I felt like I couldn't hardly breathe because God was just working on me. I can't explain. I'm trying to explain it to you. If you ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. Those of you doing like this, some of you might go, I don't know what he's talking about. I tell you what it was. You say, what was it? It's just the unfathomable grace of God. And man, I got on that altar and I began to just do business with God and thank God for his grace and thank God for giving me another chance. You see, the Bible says that he is the God of all grace. He is the God that giveth more grace. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he has gone before me, and of his fullness have we all received, listen now, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, listen now, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And tonight, if you need some grace, I submit to you that there's more grace to go around. There's grace for every mile. There's grace for every trial. There's grace for the sinner. There's grace for the saint. There's grace for the rich. There's grace for the poor. There's grace for the American. There's grace for the Papua New Guinean. I hope you just saw that tonight. There's grace for the young. There's grace for the old. There's grace for the white. There's grace for the black. There's grace for the divorced family. There's grace for the family that stayed together. There's grace for the sodomite. And there's grace for the straight. And we can keep on going tonight. You say, what are you trying to say, Brother Brian? I'm saying you can't get to the end of it. When you think there ain't no more to go around, amen, guess what? He giveth more grace. It's the unfathomable grace of God. It's unforeseen. It's unfathomable. You know what else it is tonight? We ought to thank God tonight for the unfailing grace of God. I've failed his grace many times, but I got good news tonight. His grace has never failed me. Many times I failed him, but he has never failed me. And there may be some tonight say, well, Brother Brian, you preach that grace so good, and you preach that grace so free, and you preach that grace so wonderful. Why can't we just live like we want to if there's so much grace to go around? Listen, that's why Paul spent 3 chapters before he got to chapter 5 to plunge us all off into hell for a little while. To show us, amen, that you have to realize that you are a sinner and you have a need for the grace of God. You and I cannot earn it. We cannot attain it. We cannot purchase it. There's nothing we can do to merit it into our life. And Jude said, for those that say, well, if you get hooked on grace, if you get all excited about grace and say, man, there's just enough grace to go around. I can go drink. I can go party. I can go smoke. I can go jump in bed with whoever I want to. Man, I'll just claim the good grace of God because he's the God that giveth more grace. Listen, if that's you tonight, Jude said there are those in the last days who would turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness or a license to sin. And if that's you tonight, you have never been introduced to the real good grace of God. The grace of God makes you want to live right. Makes you want to talk right. It makes you want to walk right. Amen. The Bible says, for the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared before all men, and it teacheth us how to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and how we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Oh, listen, the grace of God, when it comes in, it'll teach you some things. The grace of God tonight, I want to do right because of the grace of God. You have to realize tonight you're lost and you're undone before you can really comprehend on a minute level how good grace really is. If you ever have experienced and encountered the marvelous grace of God, you will not want to do despite to the Spirit of grace. You won't want to live a life in habitual, sinful state. You won't want to spit in the face of a Savior that loved you and died for you, amen, and gave His life for you, was buried and rose again the 3rd day for you. We live however we want to. I live however I want to tonight. I sin all I want to. I don't want to. I don't want to tonight. I want to go to church. I want to live for God. I want to read my Bible. I want to please God. I want to stay faithful to my wife. I want to love my children. I don't want to have a short temper and a hot fuse. I want to live clean and right and holy because I've received the good grace of Almighty God. Number four, we ought to thank God tonight for the unfolding grace. The Bible says, Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 4:10. He said it this, he said, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards," listen now, "of the manifold grace of God." What does manifold mean? I looked up the word manifold. Manifold means of different kinds. It means many in numbers, numerous, multiplied, exhibited, appearing at different times or in various manners. It's the manifold grace of God. It's the grace of God that has many folds. You go through some things, and it gets bigger. Sometimes the grace, I took my little piece of paper there, my bulletin. It's like this. You go through some things, and you need some grace, and the Lord said, "I got some more for you. We'll just open it up right there. We'll give you some grace," and then you go through a trial. You don't know how you're going to make it, and the Lord said, "Oh, I got some more grace for you." And then you go through something and you fall and you fell and you land down on your face. You say, "I can't believe I did that." And you get up and you say, "God, I need some grace." And the Lord said, "Hey, it's the manifold grace of God." And He just opens it up. And then you're going along. You say, "Man, I'll never do that again. I don't know how I'm going to make it." And the Lord said, "Oh, I got some more. I just open it up, give you some more grace, because it's the manifold grace of God." And boy, I tell you, if you need some more, you think it can't go get no bigger than that. And the Lord said, "Oh yeah, you don't think so? I got some more." He said, "What is it?" It's the manifold grace of God. It's the unfolding grace. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Some of you got children and grandchildren and family members. You say, "I don't know if God can work in their life." Can I remind you tonight, the grace of God, it's the manifold grace of God. It don't get smaller. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You say, "What is it?" It is the unfolding grace. And then I got good news for you tonight. Lastly, it's thank God. I'm preaching tonight on thank God for grace. Number five here, we ought to thank God for the unfading grace of God. A Bible that's full of man's sins, man's faults, man's failures, man's shortcomings. Look at Revelation chapter 22. You remember how the Old Testament ended? In Revelation chapter 22, this book ends different than the Old Covenant. Man came and messed up. He was under the law. He's under the condemnation of God. And the Old Testament ended with the word curse. But then you get to the book of Revelation, and the Lord Jesus Christ has showed up. He came. He came to do what His Father had sent Him to do. That was to die for the sins of the whole world. He sent it back to the Father. Sent the Holy Ghost. Started His church, empowered us. And now we get to the end of the ages. John the Revelator there on the Isle of Patmos writes in Revelation 22, the last verse in your Bible says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you who? All." He's a God who gives grace to all. And it is the unfading grace. For all eternity, we will live forever and ever. You say, "Why are we going to live forever and ever?" Because of one word. Grace. Ain't nobody going to be in heaven. You say, "How'd you get here?" I said, "Boy, you ain't going to believe what I did to get here. Ain't going to be nobody like that in heaven. Red, yellow, black, or white. From Jeffrey Dahmer to the Sunday school brat." You say, "Hey, how'd you get here?" One word. Grace. And it's the unfading grace of God. And maybe tonight as we give an invitation, I'm going to close and turn it over to the pastor. Miss Cindy will come. Maybe tonight before we go to the house and get a bite to eat and close our eyes and go to bed, maybe it'd be appropriate to find you a spot. Maybe it's been a while. And say, Lord, thank you for grace. Thank God tonight for grace. You start looking around at all the blessings of God, you can't take credit for none of it. It's only one word, grace. Father, we love you tonight. And Lord, I want to say publicly, thank you for the grace of God in my life. Lord, for bringing me to this church after you saved me and letting me go through some things, trials and tribulations, heartaches and failures. God, you put me in a place, Lord, where I can serve God with some of the greatest people in all the world. And Father, help us, Lord, to live this Christian life in such a way that we bring a smile to your heart and we please you in our everyday life because of your grace that was bestowed upon us. Lord, bless us now, I pray, the invitation, have your will and way. And Lord, if there's one here tonight that's never received the grace of God, which bringeth salvation that has appeared to all men, I pray tonight that they would find a place at the foot of Calvary. And Lord, they would receive the grace of God into their heart and life, like all of us that know you as our personal Lord and Savior did at one time in our life. Father, I ask you, Lord, to save them. We ask all this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.